Friday the 13th of March 2020 was a foggy day, if you remember. The clouds hung really low. I actually remember after dropping my kiddos off, driving by a school that had already been sent home to see a slight breeze rocking a swing back and forth. It's like an eerie movie. Friday the 13th, an apropos date and mood for what was on the horizon. I actually was making my way downtown to the DPS Emergency Operations Center on streets that were eerily empty. Then I stepped into a room filled with computer monitors and data printouts and doctors. Now, back at the church, a stack of bulletins that read March 15th on the top were waiting on the table in the office. That same stack of bulletins would sit there until January. I remember the clumsiness of our first few virtual Sundays. We had one camera on a tripod, and we'd run around, and we would set it someplace and do things, and then we'd run around, and we'd set it over here, and it was just chaos in this room. And then there was Facebook, who was not ready for the exponential increase in the number of streamings, and the service kept dropping. Remember, there was one service you had to sign in three times to finish the entire service together. But, you know, that was okay, right? Because it was just going to be for a few weeks. You remember? It was just going to be for a few weeks. It was just going to be for a few weeks. We were virtual only for 70 Sundays. We're still hybrid, and I love that option. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But it should be a choice, not the only way to be together. Now, throughout that journey, there were certain mile markers we passed that I very clearly remember. I remember the day we realized we were going to be virtual for Easter. Do you remember that teary conversation? I remember doing our first online funeral with only like 13 people scattered around the room as everyone else had to watch from home. Where were the hugs? Where was the coffee? Where were those stories that you stand around and tell? I remember producing multiple Christmas Eve services only to sit and watch them on a screen instead of a room that was supposed to be full of candlelight. Now, the time wasn't without meaningful highlights, right? I mean, Dwayne the Donkey went from a one-time Christmas character to the hero we all needed. And I am grateful. I got to preach from inside a blanket fort, sitting in a tree. On the rooftop at sunrise, I walked a long, empty road with Brandon trying to time the van so I didn't bump into it. I got to preach from a mountaintop from Red Rocks. I got to preach Red Rocks for Easter. Now, it wasn't the official one, but I was out there filming. I even got to preach from inside our Christmas tree. We celebrated baptisms in backyards, and it was beautiful. We received communion and ashes and prayer quilts and all sorts of things in a drive-through fashion because you can't keep us down. We had an Easter egg hunt where you went from house to house throughout the neighborhood. How wonderful was that? We lit our Advent wreaths together from home. And we did all these things to stay connected and to keep each other safe. Now, all the while we were experiencing lockdowns and quarantines and isolation and social distance, even the most comfortable among us were uncomfortable. And for those on the edges, it's stories of untold difficulty. And sadly, the tools for keeping us safe got turned into partisan wedges to rile up voters. I still think about the nurses, the teachers, the grocery and food service workers, the delivery drivers, all pushed to the brink. And mind you, it's not over for them. Those that remain in their occupations could take years to recover from the burnout. Marriages, friendships, small businesses just cracking, sometimes crumbling under the strain and the stress. And then there was the virus itself, a collage of impacts and symptoms, some of those very brief, some of them still lingering for people. Some folks were asymptomatic. Others ended up counting months on ventilators. In the last 2 years, there have been more than 6 million reported COVID deaths, with the true number possibly three times higher. We may not all have gotten COVID, but we are all still healing. We may not all have gotten COVID, but we are all still healing. And so on this two-year anniversary of the shutdown, and in this season of Lent, as we consider the ways Jesus invited us to know life, our lived experiences and our scriptures converge once more. Because Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And I tell you, Jesus brings us life through healing. I mean, healing. Jesus offered healing to all he encountered. He offered healing to those who were long forgotten. Healing was offered to those who just happened upon him. Healing was offered to those who sought him out with their very last ounce of energy. But what does that look like today? What does Christ's healing look like today? I mean, Jesus wasn't cruising through COVID wings at the local hospital the last time I checked. I mean, amazing medical staff sure were, and I do not question that God works through our medical professionals every single day. But the healing Jesus offered in the Bible, the get up, take your mat and go home kind of healing, what does that look like and what does that mean for us today? Get up, take your mat and go home. In fact, let's hear that story now.
One day, when Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and legal experts were sitting nearby. They had come from every village. Now the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. Some men were bringing a man who was paralyzed, lying on a cot. They wanted to carry him in and place him before Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they all took him up on the roof and lowered him, cot and all, through the roof tiles into the crowded room in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus now spoke to the man who was paralyzed. I say to you, get up, take your cot, and go home. Right away, the man stood before them, picked up his cot, and went home, praising God.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Val, like your daughter's reading scripture in church, she's still at home in her PJs, and here you are. There are some benefits to the way we get to do this. Now, this story has always amazed me. It was actually the church's children's musical when I was in elementary school. Back when I was in elementary school, we did a children's musical at church every year, and that year was Through the Roof, jazz hands and all. The part about this story that amazed me, actually that still amazes me, is the friends. Right, these friends haul this guy out of his house, carry him across town, and when they can no longer fight the crowd, they decide to take the stairs on the backside of this house, and they begin to rip apart the adobe-style roof to create a hole. And not just a hole. Hi, Jesus. No, we're talking like lower a guy on a cot through the roof hole. I can only imagine the crowd below as the dirt starts to fall in on them, right? There's no neat way to do that. Suddenly they're in this dark room listening to Jesus and a beam of light breaks through. Where there once was a roof, there's now like a skylight. But that beam of sun coming through is almost immediately interrupted as a man on a cot starts lowering through. It's like Cirque du Soleil. And Jesus is, Jesus is just sitting there. And I want to highlight for you the first thing Jesus says. The first thing Jesus says to the man is, your sins are forgiven. Now, I actually abridged the scripture today. There's a little section in the middle there, just like last week, where the religious types start freaking out, like, Jesus can't forgive sins. I want you to check out last week's sermon if you haven't heard me talk about that already. But Jesus decides, sees this man, and the first thing he does is offer a reminder that God's love is active in this man's life. Because Jesus always opens with a reminder that God's love and grace are active in people's lives. But that's not the only thing his friends loaded him up to hear. They didn't carry him across town and rip a hole in the roof so he could be reminded that God loves him. They want their friend to walk again. I mean, these are committed friends. In fact, their presence is so powerful, it's the first thing Jesus notices. Did you hear the moment in the scripture? It reads, when Jesus saw their faith, not the man's faith, not Jesus' faith, their faith, the friend's faith. I mean, they had faith in Jesus. They had faith in their friend. They had faith that healing was possible. What these people did for their loved one, for their friend, for their companion on the journey of life, was they acknowledged the pain he was in, and they were open to new possibilities. And that is where healing begins. When we acknowledge the pain and are open to new possibilities. I tell you, for all of Jesus' healing powers, it was the actions of this man's friends that brought him to that place of healing. Community, sharing the struggle together, was the starting point for healing to begin. It was their actions that surrounded him with healing long before Jesus cured him. And this is where we need to draw a distinction between healing and curing. When a person cannot walk, and then suddenly they can walk, they've been cured. Healing is not curing. I have been with people who are fighting terminal illness, and I've watched them receive healing, though they still die. I have seen people with chronic conditions receive healing, though they still confront that illness every single day of their lives. Because healing is more. Healing is not dependent on the outcome, the diagnosis, or the prognosis. Healing is more than that. Because the impact of illness and pain is more than just our bodies. I tell you, if all we get is a cure, we are still wanting and needing to be made whole. This is especially true for the places we need healing from past hurts and traumas. Those are experiences for which there's no cure. This is especially true for the places we need healing for our private struggles, our self-doubt, and our shame. There's no cure for that, but there can be healing. Healing is more because our needs are more. Now, there's another difference between experiencing healing and being cured. Healing doesn't mean things go back to the way they were. For many of us, the places we need healing, the idea of going back to the way it was would not be better. And that's true on a global scale right now as well. The way things were 2 years and one day ago is not where I want our world to return. I want more than that. Going back to the way things were is not healing. Because the work of healing invites us to name the source of our pains and the ways we need to see it addressed. Now, this can sound daunting, and rightfully so, because if it was easy to confront the sources of our pain, none of us would hurt, right? We just sort of deal with it. But what we see in Jesus is a promise that we don't have to confront these things alone. In every instance of healing in our scriptures, Jesus is there. Jesus is right with them in the middle of it. He doesn't just send some magic vibes from a distance. He is with the people, seeing their pain right there, a companion to the realities of life. And so it still is today. In our times of hurt and need, we are invited to see God's love and grace. The love and grace shown in Jesus is with us. We are invited to know that we are not alone. God is not far off, hearing our loud cries as a mere soft whisper because of the distance. God is close enough to feel our tears. And to embody this, we are invited to live like Jesus. We are invited to be the people who sit with those in pain, to acknowledge that pain, and to be open to the fact that there are more possibilities. There are new possibilities. We are invited, whether one-on-one or communally, to listen to and name the sources of pain and to find ways to address them. To be with one another as community in difficult times. Right? For us to be together in these difficult times, just like the choir sang. That is to live like Jesus. To be with one another as a community in difficult times is to embody the healing God longs for. And it's what we have done for one another, and it's what we are invited to do for every person we encounter. Now, this scripture, it concludes with the man picking up his cot and heading home praising God. That's what it says. He picked up his cot and headed home praising God. Now, listen, God is certainly worthy of praise. I hope this man was also praising God for a community that would surround him with healing and be with him on the journey. Because I know I praise God that we have carried one another through these last 2 years. And I welcome the continued healing that we all need so deeply, that it might be shared together. Amen.